Good morning, Crossville Church.
Good morning.
How are you this morning? Good. It's good to see you. Glad that you're here. Be sure and remember, let me just make these few announcements. Be sure and remember, Super Summit Something will be Wednesday night. And Coffee Talk and Pastor Jack's class are responsible for the evening. If you're planning to come, be sure and sign up on the sign-up sheets out in the foyer. And here is the menu for Wednesday night. Loaded baked potatoes and desserts. We really like the desserts. Y'all have outdone yourself this year for Super Summer Something. We had over 80 there, or had 80 there Wednesday night. And thank you so much for being here, being a part of that. Be sure and sign up, because we do want to have enough for everything. And the guys that did the barbecue, Rusty. Wow. I don't eat a lot of barbecue because I like it, but it doesn't like me. But I liked that, and that was good. Remember, ladies Bible study, Friday morning at 11:15, Friday afternoon. It's a busy day. Friday afternoon, Young at Heart will be having fun and games in the lower level of this building. Friday evening from 5 until 8, Kids Connection will be having a fun day event. And that will be in the multipurpose room down in the Family Life Center. Then Saturday morning, it will be men's breakfast. And men, if you're planning to be a part of men's breakfast, be sure and let Wayne know so that he'll know how much to prepare. We are collecting crisis care kits through today. And if there are some Ziploc bags out there in the foyer, you can bring those as late as Wednesday night. But we do need those in by Wednesday night. They're actually going to be collecting from the entire district. Crisis care kits here at our church next Saturday. And so be sure and get that in by Wednesday night. Vacation Bible School is coming. You can register out in the foyer for those. There's a QR code out there, out in the foyer, and you can register your children out there. And next Sunday morning, right after morning worship, there's going to be a Vacation Bible School workers meeting. So if you're involved in Vacation Bible School, be sure and remember that. We are going to begin to take pictures today. Now, having said that, some of you are chomping at the bit to get out there. Come on, laugh. We do have some, however, let me say this. We do have some that are going, we're going to be doing this several weeks, okay? So we're okay, but we have some that are going to be leaving for a few weeks, and we need to get those done, and they are here today to get those done too. So be sure, if someone says, "Hey, I'm going to be leaving," say, "You go right ahead. I'll get mine done next Sunday." Amen, William. Good preaching. Be sure to remember that. Thank you for your faithfulness in giving, faithfulness to the Lord, faithfulness to the church. The offering boxes are in the back of the church, and we sure do appreciate your faithfulness in giving. It means so much in the ministry of the church. Any other announcements? Women's Bible study has stopped, so that's not happening Friday morning. That's good. Thank you. Yes, Brett. It might be good to wait in the air conditioning. But anyway, they will be done outside under the canopy or out there in that area. So, okay. Thank you for being here this morning. It's so good to see you.
Well, happy Father's Day to all their fathers here today, and dads and grandpas and papas and all of you. Okay, I think for Father's Day, just a couple of Bible dad jokes would be in order. So here we go. Who's the greatest babysitter in the Bible? David. He rocked Goliath. Come on, please laugh, please laugh. Who was the most savvy businesswoman in the Bible? Pharaoh's daughter. She went down to the bank of the Nile and pulled out a little profit. Do you know what time of day Adam was created?
Right before Eve.
Right before Eve. What kind of plants did Moses not want on the ark?
More than that.
That would be one, but he for sure did not want any leeks. Okay, last one, I promise. Last one. Why didn't Ruth like Jeremiah? Jeremiah judges Ruth. Okay, that's enough of that. Okay, I want to mention this morning five things that my dad loved. Okay, first and foremost, he loved the Lord. That was evident in the way he lived and conducted himself. He loved his family, second. And this was made plain to us whether he was giving us praise or administering punishment, of which Mary got the most, I'm sure. And third, he loved his church. He was active from the early years, you know, Sunday school superintendent, and later years, faithful attendance and participation in the services. Fourth, he loved poetry. I know some of you who have been here for a while have heard him recite many poems from memory. And fifth, he loved pro wrestling. I know, he was just very diverse. And today I want to share one of the things that he loved with you. And you're welcome, it will not be pro wrestling. No videos there. But I found a poem in one of Dad's old poem books that I thought would be appropriate for today. I don't know if I've heard him recite this one or not, but that doesn't mean he didn't, because he did quote many or recite many poems. I'm not going to be reciting from memory. He would always do it from memory. I'm not going to be doing that. But this poem is from W.A. Drumgoole, entitled Building the Bridge for Him. An old man traveling a lone highway came at evening, cold and gray, to a chasm vast and deep and wide, through which was flowing a sullen tide. The old man crossed in the twilight dim, for the sullen stream held no fears for him. But he turned when he reached the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. "Old man," cried a fellow pilgrim near, "you're wasting your strength with building here. Your journey will end with the closing day, and you never again will pass this way. You have crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build you a bridge at eventide?" And the builder lifted his old gray head. "Good friend, on the path I have come," he said, "there followeth after me today a youth whose feet must pass this way. This stream, which has been as naught to me, to that fair-haired boy may a pitfall be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. Good friend, I'm building this bridge for him."
Oh. Let's stand and sing. Great is the Lord.
Great is the Lord, He is holy and just, by His power we trust in His love. Great is the Lord, He is faithful and true, by His mercy He proves His love. Great is the Lord and worthy of glory, great is the Lord and worthy of praise. Great is the Lord, now lift up your voice, now lift up your voice. Great is the Lord.
Great is the Lord and worthy of glory. Of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you, we live for you, Jesus, the name above every other name, Jesus, the only one we could ever say, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you, we live for you.
With your heart and leading in your love.
It's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, Father. So it's fitting that Pastor William will be preaching to us about God as Father. So I'm just going to pray to that God. Lord, it's pretty easy for us to kind of abstract things and just say God, because we can mean a whole lot of things when we say God. But when we say Father, we mean something pretty darn specific. We just want to thank you for being the one who loves us, who's there for us, whether or not we do things right, who calls us into a deeper life, a life that mimics the life that you yourself are, one that is self-giving, self-sacrificial, who gives up what he cares about most for our good. We thank you for being our Father, for calling us to be your children, something we don't earn, but something we're given as a gift. It's only as sons and daughters that we truly live with you as our Father. And so we thank you for being that for us today, tomorrow, and each and every day for the rest of eternity. It's in your name we live, Father. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
I want to speak to you this morning from Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. And we're going to begin with verse 1 and go down through verse 15. You already know that we're kind of working our way through this series entitled Discipleship 101. We've talked about it for the past 2 weeks. And last week we talked about the fact that he saves us. Today is Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. And thank you for being here today. So what better topic could really a discipleship message be today than to talk about God our Father? Let me give you a few interesting statistics, and I know that just thrills your heart that I'm starting with statistics. According to a study that was released in 2025 by the Pew Research Center, 83% of adults in the United States believe in God or some universal spirit. 81%, and these are people in the United States, 81% have a thought about God and religion, at least to some degree. At least to some degree. But in thinking about this God who 83% of the people say exists, I have a question. Do people know who God is? Well, I'm going to give you my answer, okay? The obvious answer, I think, is no. Because you see, there is a big difference between believing that somebody exists and knowing them. I believe that that we have a president in the United States. I have never met him. I do not know him. There are some people that I have met. There are some people that I do know. I mean, I got to meet Chet Atkins one time, and some of you are saying, who is that? Some of you know who I'm talking about. But I don't know Chet Atkins. He's dead now, but I didn't know him then. You begin to talk about God. And so I want to bring this, as I said a few Sundays ago, I'm going to bring this real close to home. When we quote the Apostles' Creed, we begin with these words: I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. If you go and take the manual of the Church of the Nazarene, our first article of faith begins like this: we believe in one eternally existent, infinite God, sovereign creator and sustainer of the universe, that he only is God, holy in nature, attributes, and purpose. Now, those statements we take and we believe. We say that we believe them, but I have to ask the question, do we, the Christian people in general, know who God is? I looked at several surveys, and those that I could find, and most of them say that for contemporary Christians, the answer is no. Even contemporary Christians don't know who God is. You see, when we started talking about discipleship 101, and you began to think about it, and like I said in that first Sunday, we began to think about this in the fact that so many people, some people did have a mentor who helped them work through, but so many people came into this thing of following after Christ, not really knowing what to do, how to do it, not really realizing that there is a God that wants real relationship with us. Across the years, I've heard people refer to God as the man upstairs. Now, I'm going to tell you, and you may have said it, if you have, I'm not trying to make you feel guilty or anything like that, but that phrase is so disrespectful, because God is much more than that. Much, much more than that. Many years ago, the prophet Hosea, in Hosea chapter 4, verse 1, said of Israel, "There is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land." The King James Version translates like this: "There is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land." And then he goes on in chapter 4, verse 6, and he says this. He says, "My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge." He's just said there is no knowledge of God in the land. And then he comes to verse 6, and he says, "My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge." The basic implication here is that they are destroyed because they don't know who God is. And I really, as I look at our country, I really believe this slow path to destruction in which we find ourselves as a nation is because Christians, and I say that in quotation marks, because Christians have forgotten who God is. And not only have we forgotten who God is, we're not allowing Him to influence our lives individually and collectively. And if He is not influencing our lives as Christians, He cannot influence the lives of the nation that is around us. Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24 says, "This is what the Lord says, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, nor the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches, but let him boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, righteousness on earth, for in these I delight, declares the Lord." Psalm 14, 1 through 2 says, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, their deeds are vile, there is no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God." Wow. Well, it's my intent this morning that maybe in this sermon, and boy, this is a long shot, that we can really come to know who God is. And it will cause us, as we're living our Christian lives, because we live in a very confused world about who God is and what God does, but I'm hoping that when we leave here this morning, that we'll have some understanding of who God is, appreciate the love that has been extended to us, and go out of here to serve Him like we've never served Him before. So the question that we come to this morning is, who is God? I mean, most people, religious, non-religious, there, as I said, 83% acknowledge that there is a God. J. Clyde Turner said, "Some have fashioned a God out of their own imagination and according to their own desires. Some look upon God as a kind of Superman, having the form and nature of a man. Others look upon Him as an impersonal force that pervades the universe." So I come back to the question one more time. Who is God? Well, I think we can look to Exodus. And you say, "Pastor, we just went through Exodus not long ago." I know, I understand that, but we're going back there this morning. Smile and be happy. It's here in Exodus, really, that we find God revealing Himself. I mean, basically, Moses asked this question, "Who is God?" And it's in this passage of Scripture that God tells Moses who He is. Exodus chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush, and Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me. And I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God says, I will be with you. And this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As I said a moment ago, I realized we looked at Exodus not too long ago. But when we talked about Exodus in that series, we talked about God being a deliverer. That was the entire focus of that series of messages. So today we're going to go at this in just a little different way. We're going to begin to look at a true and biblical concept of who God is. And I believe it's going to help us begin to live out our Christian lives in a different way maybe than we ever have before. So who is God? The first thing that I want you to see, who is God? God is the one who comes near and who invites us to come near. Look at verse 2. Exodus 3, there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire within the bush, and Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from the bush, Moses, Moses. Moses said, Here I am. Don't come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Then he said to them, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being out in the desert somewhere and all of a sudden the bush is on fire, but the bush is not burning up? It's not doing what bushes are supposed to do when they're on fire. You know the story. We talked about it back in Exodus. There he is. He's watching all of this happening. Nothing is going as it's supposed to go. And so Moses says to himself, I'm going to go see what's happening. Y'all are not with me this morning. And Moses goes over, and God begins to show Moses something about all of this. He begins to show Moses that he wants him to intervene on behalf of the people. But it wasn't that he just wanted Moses to intervene on behalf of the people. It was that God was coming near to them to do something about their situation. You see, when you begin to look at all of this, he was the God of Abraham. He was the God of Isaac. He was the God of Jacob. But the most important thing that you find out as you look at this, God says to Moses, I am your God. And I have come near to you, Moses. Isn't it amazing when you think about it? That this God of the universe, this God who fills the universe, somehow cares enough about us that he would come to us. That he would come to you, that he would come to me. You see, when you really begin to think about it, God came near to Israel, but God not only came near to Israel, God came near to mankind through the incarnation of Jesus. And it's through this incarnation, it's through this enfleshment of Jesus into our world that we are invited to come near to God. John 1:1-4, and then also verse 14. John says here, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And then you go down to verse 14, and there in verse 14 it says, the Word, Jesus, became flesh and made His dwelling among us. And we have beheld His glory, the glory of the one and only Son of God, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. When you look in Exodus, what do you see? You see God coming near to Moses. God coming near to the people of Israel. In the New Testament, what do we see? We see God Himself taking on flesh and blood in order that He might come near to us. It's amazing. I mean, Jesus is God. He came near. Paul in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away and have been brought near. You who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Just as coming near to Moses, now God is coming near to us. He's not some imaginary God that floats around out there in this vast universe. Incidentally, they are now saying that the universe is bigger than they ever dreamed it could be. And that all that we see is the observable universe, which is 93 billion light years across. And the God who created that has come near. The God who created that is sitting near you today by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Think about that, folks. This God is the one who chose of His own volition to come to us in order that He might invite us to come near to Him. It's an amazing thought when you think about it. He makes Himself known to us and He asks us to come to Him. But the second thing that I want you to see this morning, when you ask this question, who is God? You have to come to the realization that God is the one who spoke and who continues to speak. Look at verse 4 of Exodus chapter 3. When the Lord saw that Moses had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses, and Moses answered, here I am. God, here, begins this conversation with Moses. If you go back to the early part of the book of Genesis, you find there that God came down in the cool of the evening, and there were conversations, the Bible tells us, between God and Adam and Eve. And sin came into our world, and communication was broke. But God continued to speak. I mean, You think about it. Here He is speaking directly to Moses. He spoke directly to Abraham.
You read through the Bible and in various places and you find God speak. He is the one who spoke. He did not do it necessarily just for the purpose of correction, but He did it in order that He might communicate the truth and lead those who needed to know the truth into His righteousness. Hebrews chapter 1 verses 1 and 2 says, "In the past God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various places. But in these last days He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through Him, through whom He made the universe." God spoke in the Old Testament. But the Hebrew writer tells us that now God has spoke to us through His Son. He has offered Himself and has spoke to us not only through His Son, but through His Word. I mean, the very Bible that you hold in your hands, whether it is in a physical book or whether it is on a phone somewhere, the very Bible that you hold in your hands are the very words of God to us. Amen, William, good preaching. It allows us to comprehend this God who came near. I mean, how do you begin to put together all of this? I mean, you guys know I'm a space nut. Some of you think I'm just spacey. I understand that. I at least got a laugh out of you on that one. I told somebody one time that the first time I looked through a telescope at the moon on Barlow Hill in Piedmont, Alabama, I can just still see it in my mind. I was hooked. I mean, I was hooked at that point in time. I wanted to know everything that I could find out about this universe that is out there, and if there's a reel on Facebook, I'm going to watch it to the very end. And Susie talks to me. Can you think about the fact that when God spoke, all of this came into existence? Louis Giglio said that when God spoke, let there be light, that light came from the mouth of God at 186,000 miles a second. And there was light. And when Jesus came, He spoke to Nicodemus and told Nicodemus that God wanted to do something in Nicodemus that only a God as big as our God is could do. And that's change a heart. That's forgive sin. God spoke. God continues to speak. The question is, are we listening? Who is God? Well, according to what we read here, He is the one who knew Moses, and He's the one who knows you. I mean, that's third in all this. Look at verse 4 one more time. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, Moses called to him from within. I mean, God called to him within the bush, "Moses, Moses." This was not just some, you know, bumping into Moses somewhere. It was not just Moses showing up and saying, "Hey, this is interesting," and God saying, "Well, he's at least interesting, so I think I'll talk to him." He calls out to him and he calls him by name because God knew Moses. He knew his name. He not only knew his name, but you go on and you read the rest of the event as it happens here. He not only knew Moses' name, he knew Aaron's name. Isaiah chapter 43 verses 1 through 3 says, "But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, I have redeemed you, I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt your ransom, Cush and Seba as your stead." God knows you. He knew you before you were ever formed in your mother's womb. That's why we believe that life starts at conception. Amen? Well, we got an amen out of that one. I mean, you begin to think about it, folks. He knows us. He has called us by name. I mean, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 30, that even the hairs of our head are numbered, and I won't go there because mine are falling out. I saw a picture the other day of me at Palcon from the back. Somebody ought to turn those lights down. The glare was showing in the camera, you know. He knows us by name, folks. He knew Moses by name. He knows the things that you like. He knows the things that you dislike. Can I tell you something? He is intimately involved and personally involved in your life. He has brought you to even to this place today in order that He might speak to you, in order that you might know that He knows you by name. God is a God who knows you. You call up some politician somewhere and I guarantee you they're not going to know you. I won't go any further than that because I'd like to tell you they really don't care about you, but I won't say that this morning. He not only knows you, but the fourth thing that I want you to know, and there are only 6 points to this sermon this morning, so you'll know. He is the one who sees and hears you. Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. God has the ability to see a whole lot more than human eyes can see. I mean, He had the ability to see that all that was going on there in Egypt with the Hebrews. He not only, get this, He not only saw that they were in physical bondage, but He also understood that they were in spiritual bondage. You see? He saw the heart and soul of His people. His hearing ability was able to go beyond just hearing a cry for help. It was able to hear the real cry from their heart. There are a lot of times that we would cry for help from our voice, but maybe sometimes I'm not sure that we really even want help. We just want a change in the situation. And God is a God who sees, and God is a God who hears. He sees and hears our troubles. He knows how we are affected. God takes notice of what you say. He hears what you say. I mean, Jesus there in John chapter 11, just before they roll away the stone there at Lazarus, Jesus looks up and says, Father, I thank You that You have heard Me. You say, oh, but that was Jesus. Yeah, I understand, but He hears you. Let me go on and say this too. He sees you. And may I ask you a question? Do you like what He sees and hears? Do you like what He sees and what He hears? Do you like what He sees you do? Do you like what He hears you say? It's kind of funny to me. Especially when I was riding bikes. You'd be riding with about 20 other guys on a bicycle in the bicycle club, and somebody would blurt out something, and they would always say, oh, I'm sorry, William. I rode 6 months with them before they ever knew I was a preacher. Now, that was interesting.
And the reason and it's not that I'm ashamed that I'm a preacher. I wanted them to get to know William before they decided who William was and put up this wall that would forever separate me from them. I've been riding with them for about 6 months. And one night, one of the guys just said to me, "What do you do?" "I'm a pastor." And I won't repeat the expletive that came out of his mouth. I got to the point with them when they would say something and they would apologize to me. I got to the point with them that I said, "I'm not the one you need to worry about. You like what he sees? Do you like what he hears? Because he does see, and he does know, and he does hear. He is not deaf. He is not blind. And he not only sees and knows and hears, but he understands the motives behind what we do." I didn't expect to get amen in this point in the service, because I didn't amen myself as I was writing this. You'll like the fifth one. Who is God? He is the one who delivers. Verse 10. "So now, go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" After seeing, after hearing, he saw the oppression, he heard the cries, and God moves into action to deliver them. And we talked about that for weeks and weeks when we were talking about Exodus. And God, through mercy and grace, you know we got there. God, through mercy and grace, delivers the Hebrews from bondage. And he continues through Jesus to deliver men and women, boys and girls from bondage. And I'm not talking about slavery. I'm talking about slavery. I'm talking about slavery. I'm talking about addictions. I'm talking about all kinds of things that you could put into that, that people find themselves in bondage to. If you go to Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 14, "For the Lord your God moves about in your camp to protect you and to deliver your enemies to you. Your camp must be holy." Oh, there's a concept, isn't it? "Your camp must be holy so that he will not see among you anything indecent and turn away from you." You go to Psalm 50, verse 15, "Call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you and you will honor me." You go over into Judges, and the people of Israel are told, "Go and cry out to the gods you have chosen. Let them save you when you are in trouble." You see, our deliverance, our God is the one who delivers us. And our deliverance takes its greatest form. Our deliverance takes its greatest form. Our deliverance takes its greatest form in the saving work of Jesus. And God continues to deliver people. Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. I mean, he hears. He knows. And he will forgive. He will forgive. The last one I started to leave off, but it's here. That God is the one who causes all else to be. Moses said,
Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. It's here that God really reveals himself to Moses. God, if I go over there and I say that the God of our fathers has sent me to deliver you, I mean, what am I supposed to say to them when they say, who is he? It was a name they would not even speak. It's a name that literally means to be. In other words, God has been. God will always be. But God is right now. You see, God was stating that he is the God of this universe. John 1:3 says that through him all things were made, speaking of Jesus. And he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay? And you come to verse 3 of chapter 1. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing has been made that has been made. Nothing. Without him nothing was made that has been made. You go to Colossians chapter 1 verse 16. And Paul says there, for by him all things are created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. Who is he? He is I am. He is the one that basically, if you say those words, you're basically breathing in and breathing out. He is the true living God who is active in your life. He is the one who wants to interact with you. What is man that you are mindful of him, the psalmist asks. You've made him a little lower than the angels. And he wants to be there with you. All of this is being held together by his hand, and we continue as long as he says we will continue. He is the one. He is the only. He is God, our Father. It's amazing. Application. I've been preaching for about 40 minutes. And I want you to understand this morning. I have barely scratched the surface. Because when you begin to read through the Bible, and hopefully it won't just be, you know, 2 or 3 minutes here and there, just enough to make you feel like you've done something for the day. I hope that when you begin to read your Bible, I hope that you'll begin to understand that you're going to find a larger, deeper, fuller understanding of who this God is. This God that came near, this God that speaks, this God who knows, this God that sees and hears, this God who delivers, this God who causes all of this to be and sustains it in ways that I can't even begin to imagine. He wants to know William. And he wants William to know about him. He wants to know you. And he wants you to know him. Not as some far off out there God, but as a God who will come along beside you and help you
in the hard times. That will sustain you like no one else can. That will be there when it seems that the rest of the world has walked out. He never left. He is still there. You see, He is the God. He is the Father of those who will come to Him. And we have that opportunity as His children. Who is God? Well, I'm glad to tell you that you can know Him. Because He sure does want to know you. And want you to know Him. Every year we do this on Father's Day. You know that. Do it on Mother's Day. I'm going to ask all the fathers. Some of you may not be fathers, but you are being fathers, mentors to people who do need it. I invite you to come as well and give me the great honor of praying for you today. I ask all of our dads to come. Stand and first of all face the congregation. How about that?
Now, ladies, they did a real good job on Mother's Day. Aren't these guys handsome? Okay, guys, you can turn and face me. You did notice I didn't say pretty. What an honor it is for me to pray for you today. I sat with a young man this week and told him, I said, I'm not so much concerned about me, but for those of you who are standing in this line that have young kids at home, I am concerned for you. And I am concerned for those children that are in your house. I'm concerned about our grandkids. I have two that are absolutely marvelous. I'll be glad to show you the pictures. Some of you have great grandkids. And we need to be praying for them. That God would enable them to see in us a loving Heavenly Father, and that they would come to know Jesus early. You say, William, I messed up when my kids were young. Start where you're at right now and begin the process of trying to remedy that and redeem that. Father, we're grateful for the opportunity that we have to stand before these men this morning. It's an awesome, even frightening thing, Lord, to think about the world in which we live. But we're grateful that you have set such a wonderful example of being a good, good Father to us. May we indeed set an example as fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers. May we indeed set an example of what a relationship with God is all about. I pray for these men today. I pray that they would indeed be men of God. May people take note that they have been with Jesus. May you help us, Lord, every day. And Father, I pray that you'd give us wisdom. I pray that you'd help us to know what to say to our kids, our grandkids, our great-grandkids. May we indeed know what to say and how to say it. And may generations that come behind us come to know you early and live for you. Thank you for these dads, granddads, great-granddads. Bless them, help them, strengthen them, encourage them. And may they indeed live out what you have called all of us to live out. And for what you accomplish in them, through them, and for them, Lord, today we give you praise, honor, and glory for that. For it's in the precious name of the one who gave himself for us that we pray. His name is Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Guys, you already know what you're getting today, so I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. I will tell you that I don't have any sugar-free ones. And so if you will come to me and let me know, hey, I need a sugar-free one, I will have you a sugar-free one next Sunday morning. How about that? But I think we have plenty out there for all of you. And so as you go out, two of our young ladies are going to be out there, and they're going to give you a dad's root beer this morning. And if you don't like dad's root beer, I promise you there are some other folks in here who will take it. But anyway, God bless you. Thank you for being here today. It was a great day. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. May you have peace. And we give you him glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. God bless you. You're dismissed.